For joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816, and can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we would love to have you join us for worship or Bible study. Worship service is held every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, with Bible study immediately following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesday nights at 7. Now, we hope you enjoyed this lesson from God's Word brought to us by Glenn Collins.
Would you open God's book, please, to Luke, the first chapter? We're going to start in the fifth verse. Luke chapter 1, beginning in the fifth verse. It's great to see all of you here. What about December 25th? You know, I hold the view, the opinion that Christians can celebrate this season as a national family holiday without violating principles of Scripture. My family has done that many years, and I have friends, of course, who differ with me on that, and that's perfectly all right. What about December 25th as a celebratory time of the birth of Christ? From whence did it come? Well, I would recommend, if you are interested in this subject further after tonight, that you do a Google search on it, and what you'll find are a lot of different ideas. One of my good friends approached me a moment ago, and he said, "I know why December 25th is celebrated and from whence it came," and I was interested in that. And his idea may be the right one. In the 3rd century or so, you can trace back and see people professing Christianity practicing a celebration of the birth of Christ on December 25th. The question is, why did they do that? One theory is that they were imitating a pagan festival. That seems strange to me. But another theory is that pagans had been converted to what they were calling Christianity. I don't know. I wouldn't testify to the truthfulness of the Christianity, but that they were converted to Christianity, and then they were tempted to participate in these pagan festivals, one of which occurred on December 25th. And the powers that be in that church said, "Look, we've got to counter this, and so we'll have a worship service on December 25th, so the people who are converted from paganism will be in church instead of tempted to practice this pagan festival." I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. One theory is pretty interesting, is that the death of Jesus, which we know was right at or at the end of the Passover, that the death of Jesus is the same date as the conception of Jesus was. Now, that would put the death of Jesus, of course, toward March 25th. And if you did this little trickery here, well, you'd end up with, hey, December 25th for the birth of Jesus. You know, there's only one real problem with that. There is nothing to substantiate that, especially not in the Scriptures. Now, when you go to the Word of God and say, "When was Jesus born?" you're going to come up with no definitive answer. Now, the reason I don't practice or limit my celebration of the birth of Christ to one time of the year is because I'm bound in my heart to the restoration principle, and members of the churches of Christ are. Let's go back to the Bible and do Bible things in Bible ways. And we practice religion in the way the Bible dictates. And I'm telling you, there is no celebration of the birth of Christ in the Bible. Now, I would urge that what we New Testament Christians are saying is not, "Let's celebrate Christ's birth less, but let's celebrate it more." You know, we don't pause our celebration of Christ for the month of December or the month of January, or February, or March. I mean, we just keep it going all year round, right? And we celebrate not just the birth of Jesus, but His life and His death and especially His resurrection. Having said that, you know, I wish the whole world around us would just follow New Testament Christianity. It's an amazing time of the year, every Christmas season, because, I mean, as driving over to our assembly tonight, I had my radio on, and there's this beautiful song about Mary. Mary, did you know? And it sort of chronicles some events in the life of Jesus. Did you know that He would do this or that? And I tell you what, that's a touching song. And I tell you something else. It's a pretty wonderful thing to have people, I mean, in the secular world around us, you could turn on the radio or television and people are speaking the name of my Lord and doing it in honor. Now, I know they're not getting it right and we're not talking about New Testament Christians, but it is a breath of fresh air to have a time when people are talking about the Lord without embarrassment or hesitation. I wish they'd do it all the time. I wish they'd do it all the time. I know what's going to happen, you know. December 26th will occur, and suddenly you'll not hear any more about Jesus on the radio. How do you figure that? Well, they made a mistake. Why don't we just be Christians and rejoice in His birth all year round, right? That's what I'm preaching. So, you know, the funny thing about it, if Christmas fell on Sunday, you know what we'd do on that Sunday? We'd do what we always do on Sunday. I mean, we'd come together and we'd worship God just like we always do. You see, the Bible doesn't authorize a special birthday celebration for the Master. What it authorizes and what is pleasing to God is that we serve Him with our lives all through the year and that on the first day of the week we assemble to worship Him. Now, having said that, what I want to do tonight is a Bible exercise. And I hope it's something you'll find interesting. We can follow this course of thinking that I'm going to lay out to you tonight and have a good idea about the time that Jesus was born. Now, when we get to the end of this, I'm not going to pinpoint a specific date because you can't do that. You can get an idea about the time, and I think you're going to enjoy walking through this with me, but you're not going to come up with one date. Again, I think the emphasis has to be that in the desires and pleasures of God, you'll not find, I sure wish they'd hold a birthday celebration for Jesus. It's just not there. So let's continue serving God. Let's continue loving our Savior and appreciating His birth and His life and His death and His resurrection. And tonight, let us enjoy this Bible exercise of the hints that the Bible gives to the time of year when Jesus was born. Now, we start in Luke chapter 1. I want to be in verse 5. Luke 1, verse 5. Follow me, please. There was in the days of Herod, king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abiah. Now, I'm going to say two or three things that I really want to emphasize. And if you have your own Bible and you're prone to underline, I'm going to tell you some things I would suggest. And beside verse 5 here in the margin, I want you to write 1 Chronicles 24, verse 10. 1 Chronicles 24, verse 10. That's going to make sense in a couple of minutes. Repeating, 1 Chronicles 24, verse 10. Now, you know who Zechariah is. He's about to be the daddy of John the Baptist. And what you know about him, and this is going to be important, is that he is a priest, and he's of the course of Abiah. And you know, we're not very familiar with that sort of thing, but we're going to talk about it. He's a priest of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. They had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God, I would underline the bottom of verse 8 too, in the order of his course. What course is that? The course of Abiah, verse 5 says, Zechariah, the course of Abiah, he was carrying out the priestly duties in his course, verse 9, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. The angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. The people waited for Zechariah, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. They perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. Verse 23. And it came to pass that as soon, and I've underlined these words in my Bible, as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house, and after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. I've underlined all of those words in my Bible relative to our lesson tonight. All right, now when his priestly duty was finished, we're going to talk some more about that. What did he do? He went home to his wife, and she conceived. Verse 25. Thus hath the Lord dealt with me. I'm sorry, verse 24. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked upon me to take away my reproach among men. And in the 6th month, now you need to underline that. In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel, that is the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary. For thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of David his father. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. All right. We go back to 1 Chronicles 24. And here's what happened. David said, there's too many priests. And then we've got some confusion going on in the temple. And what we've got to do is to divide all the priests into courses. Courses of priests. Divide them all out. And each course of priests will serve for 1 week. Now, in 2 Chronicles 23, you have this 1 week description. From a Sabbath to a Sabbath will a course of the priests serve. Now, this was to begin in the first month of the year. But now, their first month of the year, of course, wasn't the same as ours. we know what the first month was from Exodus chapter 12 and verse 2. But do you remember the Passover? I don't mean the feast itself, but the actual Passover when God came to Egypt and He took the firstborn, except in the houses where the blood was on the doorpost and lintel. Now, He said this at that time. He will set up this Passover feast. And He said, now this, well, God is speaking, this will be your first month of your year, the month Abib. Now, later, after the Babylonians took them, they named it Nisan, N-I-S-A-N. First it was Abib, but it's the first month of their year. When does that first month come? The answer is Passover. To be more specific, God said, this is going to be your first month, and Passover feast will begin on the 14th of the month. All right? What month? Nisan, or Abib. The first month of your year, the 14th day, that's Passover. That's the Passover. All right. The courses of the priest would start at the first of their year, the month Nisan. They would serve a week at the time. When you get to 1 Chronicles 24 and verse 10, the Bible says that the... Remember what Luke 1:5 said? Zechariah was the course of Abijah. 1 Chronicles 24:10 says that that was the eighth course. Okay, now let's put the pieces together. The eighth course was the one at which Zechariah served. All right, when did the courses begin? They started the first month, the month Nisan, or Abib, and then in the middle of that month was Passover. Now, that helps you a little bit because you know when Passover is. It's calculated by the moon. You know when Easter comes each year? Well, Passover is somewhere in the late March, early April time frame. Okay? And we know that to be true. Late March, early April is Passover. Nisan started somewhere between middle March, middle April. Right in there was the month of Nisan. All right, so for the sake of the illustration, what I've done is to make it April 1. That'll make it flow good. And you understand that it doesn't follow our calendar, so I'm using this as for illustrative purposes. Somewhere into March, 1st of April, right in there, is when the month of Nisan would have been. Let's say April 1. All right? You've got the first 2 weeks, the courses of the priests begin. Week 1, the first course. Week 2, the second course. Now, on the 14th of the month, the Passover starts. Now, the priests all serve during Passover, so you can't count that course. They all serve during these feast days. The feast of the Passover lasted for a week. So, backing up, we're in the first month, the month of Nisan. Started about April 1 for our illustration. So you have week 1, the first course of priests. Week 2, the second course of priests. You skip the third week. The fourth week, we have the third course of priests. Then you have the month of May. That brings us to number 7. Four courses would serve during May. And where that would put you is the eighth course. The eighth week would be the 1st of June. With me? 8 courses, 8 weeks. Got to skip the Passover in there. 8 weeks, and that puts us to June the 1st. And Zechariah was of the course of Abijah, the 8th course. So he served starting June 1. All right. He serves for a week. That would put us to June 8. What the Bible says is, the angel came and said, now your wife Elizabeth, she's going to conceive. And look at the wording there, because I think this is sort of critical. I'm in verse, let's do verse 23 again of Luke 1. Look at the time frame. And it came to pass, verse 23, that as soon as the days of his ministration, his week, were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, what days? The days of his ministration. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. So this was miraculous. It was of the Lord. And so I don't see a gap in there. It sounds to me like that he went home and very soon his wife conceived. All right, this is the eighth course that he served. So we're about June 1 to June 8 for his serving. in the priest's office. Let's just say, for the illustration, that June 15 is when she conceives. All right? Now, we know that Mary conceives 6 months later. 6 months into Elizabeth's pregnancy is when Mary conceives. So if you start at June 15, July 15, August, September, October, November, December, that would put the conception of the Lord in December, at December 15, 6 months into Elizabeth's pregnancy. Now, the Bible's not ambiguous about that. It was 6 months into it. That would put the conception at December 15, and that would put the birth of Jesus at approximately September, the middle of September. Now, again, the variation in there is that I chose April 1. Passover is according to the movement of the moon, and so it can be, you know, toward the end of March, early part of April, it's somewhere in there. But isn't this fascinating to find out the kind of time of year when Jesus was born? But now I want to further emphasize something that I said a while ago. Now, what we went through in this exercise, now personally I think it's fascinating, but what bearing does it have on our worship to God? None. None. But what bearing does it have on a special celebration of September 15th for the birth of Christ? None. None. There is a day when God has specified special things to be done, but it's not the birth date of Christ. It's the resurrection. It's the resurrection day. And I don't mean on a calendar year. I mean on a weekly basis. Now see, I do know when Jesus was resurrected from the dead. You see, Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 2, says that it was the first day of the week. Early, the first day of the week, my Lord was resurrected from the dead. And that became very important. Not the time of the year, but the date of the week. That's what was important. And when you go from there to Acts, the second chapter, you see the birth of the church. Jesus was resurrected on Sunday. Then you go to Acts 2, and on what day of the week did that happen? On what day of the week was the church established? The answer is Sunday. Sunday. How come? Well, because Pentecost, and Pente means 50, was 50 days after Passover. And the way it was described in the Bible was, you go seven Sabbaths, and Pentecost is to happen the day after that. Seven Sabbaths is 49 days, and there you are. Sunday. So Jesus was resurrected on Sunday. The church began on Sunday, and Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 and 1 Corinthians 16, 2, the early Christians met on Sunday. Now, my point is, again, that you can't just toss out the significance of any dates. You just have to go back to the Bible and say what dates are important to God. And the answer to that is, ladies and gentlemen, the first day of the week. The first day of the week holds special significance. Which first day of the week? Of course, the answer is every first day of the week. Well, there you have it. You've been very kind to listen, and I appreciate your attention very much. You may have some questions after this is over, and I'll be happy to answer them in the best way that I can. I hope this was interesting to everybody here. Is there someone here tonight who wants to become a Christian? You know you can, and we take time at the conclusion of our lessons to ask if anybody in the room wants to obey the gospel. You know you can do that right now. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you've repented of your sins. Why, tonight you can confess Him before this great crowd of folks and we'll immerse you in water. Just like the Bible says, and for the reason it says, for the remission of your sins, and He'll add you to His church. What a great, great church, the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and you'll be a part of that because He'll add you. Would you like to obey the gospel tonight? Would you like perhaps the prayers of the church? And we're here to do that with you if you need them for whatever reason. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. Is there someone here who would like to respond? Now's a good time. Come as we stand and sing.
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ.
If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.